Hello, and welcome to the Church on the Hill podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to join us live this Sunday at 500 Sands Drive in San Jose, California. Visit churchonthehill.com for service times and directions, and also to learn more about connecting, growing, and serving at Church on the Hill. Now, please enjoy our sermon at Church on the Hill.
Well, good morning, everyone. We're glad that you're here. I'm excited that you're here with us. I know for some of you, you're probably viewing this online. I have a hunch that there might be more of you viewing online just because, you know, we just had Thanksgiving and you woke up this morning and you're still like, tryptophan and pajamas, and I think I'm just going to sit this one out and stay at home. Either way, we are glad that you're here. We're excited to have you, whether you're here in person, whether you're online. And if you are online and you're thinking to yourself, maybe that whole thing about the camera adds like 10 pounds is actually true because Josh is looking a little thicker this morning. It's not the camera. It is my mother-in-law's fault, okay? At Thanksgiving, she makes these thing called like bacon tomato cups. And it's like a croissant pastry thing with bacon and delicious morsels jammed inside of it. And it's just so good. And I know some of you guys are going to throw me off the stage for this and call me a heretic, but I don't even need the turkey. I don't need the gravy. I don't need the stuffing. I don't need the mashed potatoes. Just give me the dish of those appetizers, and I'm as happy as could be, okay? All that to say, my hope is that you guys had a great Thanksgiving. We're excited that you're here with us. I know for a lot of you, this was the first time getting back together with family and kind of reconnecting for a holiday like that. And so my hope for all of you is that it was a really special time and that you really enjoyed it. And we're extremely thankful you're here back with your church family and we get to talk this morning. So welcome. Thanks for being here. And I'm going to pray and then we'll get started. Lord, thank you for the group of people that you brought together. For those online, for those here in person, Lord, it's just, it's a pretty incredible gift we have, and we have a lot to be thankful for, that we have a group of people that choose to follow you, that want to honor you, or they want to get to know you, or they want to learn more about you, Lord, but you've provided us a place to be able to do that. For a lot of us, Lord, you provided community, you provided connection, you've just, there's so much we have to be grateful for, Lord, so thank you. And Lord, this morning, as we continue in Mark, I ask that you would use your words in Scripture to encourage people, convict people, do whatever it is you have for them this morning, Lord, and use me to do that. Allow me to portray your words correctly to every single person here, Lord, and I ask that it would sit with each person just the way that you want it to, Father. Amen. All right, so as has been mentioned a few times, we're continuing on in our series about Mark. And we're taking a pretty slow journey through Mark and trying to look at quite a few things. We are only in Mark chapter 4 at this point. And this morning, we're actually looking at the parable of, it's called the parable of the farmer, the parable of the soils, the parable of the seeds. It's all the same. They're all the same things. It shows up in Mark, it shows up in Luke, and it shows up in Matthew. So if you've been around church for a while, you've probably heard something along the lines of this parable. You've heard about this parable. And that's what we're going to be discussing this morning. But because this is 20 verses long, we're going to have to jump in pretty quickly and try to just dig into the scripture. And then we'll kind of talk through some application at the end of it. But just before we do that, I want to set the scene up for you guys because Jesus at this point is talking to this group of people. But this group of people is very much not the Silicon Valley people. This group of people is a very agricultural people, which means they farm a lot. How many of you guys have farms? Exactly. So, we have concrete, not farms. And so most of us don't really understand, whereas these people would have understood immediately what Jesus is doing when he's talking about this parable. And the way that it's set up is there would be large fields, and obviously people would need to know which field is yours and which field is mine and which field is yours so I can know what I'm supposed to plant, what you're supposed to plant. And so the way that they would separate out their fields is they would just take the rocks that they pulled out of the fields as they're preparing the fields, and they would put them in lines along the sides of the fields that would mark the boundaries. And so you would have the boundary line of your field, and we would know which field is yours and which one is mine and which one is someone else's. And so Jesus is talking about this, and when he's talking about it, he's referring to these fields and the way that they're set up. And the way they're set up is with those boundary lines, it would mark off whose field is whose. But then these farmers are smart enough to know when you throw seed out into a field, you can't just go walk all over and trample all over that seed and then expect it to be a good harvest. That's not how that's going to work. And so near the rock lines that mark the boundary of your field, there would be these trails from where the farmers walked. It'd be these hard paths from where the farmers would walk. And then between the field or the path and the rock wall was that little stretch that just really wasn't going to be usable because they're not going to walk on the rocks, but there's a little gap between there. And so there would be kind of thorns and bushes and different things in that area. So you got good soil, you got the hard path, you got the thorns, and you got the rocks. All right? Now we're all caught up and we're pretty much locals with what Jesus is talking about. So here we go. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lakeshore. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. He taught them by telling them stories in the form of parables such as this one. And again, we're in Mark chapter 4, verse 1 to 20. And he says this, "Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun, and since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants so they produced no grain. Still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted." Then he said, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." So the imagery that Jesus is using is you have a farmer, and the way that they would plant is they would take seed and they would just kind of cast it out. And as they're casting it out, what Jesus is pointing out is that some of the seed would land where it was intended in the good soil. Some of the seed would land on the hard path. Some of the seed would land in the thorn bushes. And some of the seed would land in the rocks. And that's what would happen is they would cast it out, and this would be familiar with all of them. Then the passage goes on, and it says this. "Later, when Jesus was alone with the 12 disciples and with others who were gathered around, they asked him what the parables meant. He replied, 'You were permitted to understand the secret of the kingdom of God, but I use parables for everything I say to outsiders so that scripture might be fulfilled. When they see what I do, they will learn nothing. When they hear what I say, they will not understand. Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven.'" And at this point, you guys should be like, you read that wrong. Because it makes no sense. As Jesus says that, he knows that his listeners have to be at a place where they're like, "Wait, what? Jesus, I thought the whole point was that you were coming so that people would understand, so that they would turn their hearts, so that they would follow you. So why are you now saying, so they don't understand, they don't see, they don't get it, and they don't turn?" And it makes no sense until you understand that he says, so the scriptures might be fulfilled. And what he's referring to is Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9 to 10. And this is God telling Isaiah to speak to the people. So this is God through Isaiah to the people of the Old Testament. And this is what it says in Isaiah 6, 9 to 10. And he said, "Yes, go and say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people. Plug their ears and shut their eyes. That way, they will not see with their eyes, nor hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts, and turn to me for healing." And what's taking place here is Isaiah is essentially mocking the people of the Old Testament because what the people of the Old Testament have been doing. And what they've been doing over and over again is they see God do something absolutely incredible. He delivers them. He splits the sea. He provides manna at night. He does all these different things over and over and over again. And what do the people do? They turn and go serve other gods. They turn and go do what they want to do. They turn and go figure out things that they want instead of what God wants. And so over and over again, they've turned. And so Isaiah is essentially mocking these people, saying, "You have seen all these miracles. You've heard all these stories. They've taken place right in front of you, and yet you still choose to harden your hearts. You still choose to be blind to it. You still choose to not understand what Jesus is or what God is doing right here in front of you. And so now Jesus is going back to Isaiah, and he's taken what Isaiah is saying. He says, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now he's speaking to these people at this time, because what is Jesus, or who is Jesus speaking to? He's speaking to a group of people that are following him because of what he's just done. Jesus has a huge crowd in front of him, so big that he has to get out in a boat and speak to people on land so that his voice projects like an amphitheater, because it comes off the water and it goes up to all the people on the land, and he has this huge audience. The reason why the audience is there is because the miracles that Jesus has been doing. They know that he's the guy that healed the lame person. They know that he's the guy that made the blind person see. They know that when they bring people to him, everybody gets healed. And so what Jesus is separating out and what Jesus is getting at here from Isaiah is, I need to know which people actually want to follow me, and I need to know which people are just here for the show. I need to know which people just want something. They just want to be a part of the miracle. They just want to see what's been going on. They just want to kind of have the buzz and be a part of it. And I need to separate out the people that actually want to follow me. So Jesus uses parables. And the easiest way to understand a parable is it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so Jesus is using these parables for this reason: to reveal the kingdom of God and to conceal the kingdom of God. Let me explain that. Jesus wants to separate out the people that just want to be there for the show, and Jesus wants to separate out the people that are only there because of what they can take from him. And what he's getting to, just as it says in Isaiah, is he wants to know the heart of the people. He wants to know whether you really follow, and the way that you're going to understand, the way that he's going to understand or separate that out to an extent is when you tell a parable, people don't automatically understand it. So if you go away and you think about it and you spend time and you question the meaning and you ask Jesus, what did that mean? That reveals a heart that you're trying to figure things out and really follow him. But if you're there and you hear a parable and it goes in one ear and out the other ear just because you're there just for the show and just what you can get out of it, then it conceals the meaning. And it reveals the heart of the person. And now Jesus really gets into what he's talking about, and he drops this huge statement on us. And in Mark chapter 4:13, it says this: then Jesus said to them, if you can't understand the meaning of this parable, how will you understand all of the other parables? What Jesus is saying here is, if you don't get this one, you're not going to get anything. Just like the people in the Old Testament, if you harden your hearts and you do that, you will not understand anything else. And so Jesus is driving this point home with his followers, with his people, and saying the condition of your heart is going to influence and affect everything else. If you don't understand the significance of your heart and the condition of your heart, the condition of the soil, you will not get anything else. This is that foundational piece that every single thing has to be built on. And then he moves into it and he gives the explanation. He says, the farmer plants seeds by taking God's word to others. So God is the farmer, the seed is God's word. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it away. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems and are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents others who hear God's words, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's words, produce a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. And so Jesus goes in and he essentially breaks it down. He says, in every situation, and this is not just about whether or not you follow Christ. It is about whether or not you follow Christ, but it's not just about whether you follow Christ. He's essentially calling us out to say, in every single situation, your heart can be one of these four soils. Your response to my call in your life can be one of these four soils in everything you do, not just whether or not you follow me. And so Jesus is driving home this point, what soil are you? What condition is your heart? And the first option is this. And remember, this is just, it's not just whether or not we accept him, it's how we do our lives. The first soil is the hard path. And it's the one where as soon as the seed lands, Satan snatches it up and there's absolutely no response. This is the person where if you try to have a conversation with them about Jesus, they're like, the fact that a grown adult actually believes that fairy tale is so astonishing to me that it's just laughable. When you get a response like that, you have found the hardened heart. But we also have the ability to be the hard heart in our daily lives. And as I thought about this, the example that came up for me was I was in a work situation a few years back, actually quite a few years back now, thankfully. And the truth of the matter is there was a new person that came in and took over the organization, and that person was my direct boss, and so I worked with him on a regular basis. And the two of us really never got along. I mean, like, almost everything we did, we butted heads, and we had confrontation, and we had issues. It was just one of those situations where it just seemed like every time we got together, it was just oil and water, and things were never going to line up. And the truth of the situation, if I'm being very transparent with you guys, is I would leave meetings and interactions with him, and he did some things that were legitimately wrong and legitimately messed up, but I would leave interactions with him. And the honest desire I had was I just wanted to punch him in the face. And you guys laugh because you're like, oh, you just want to punch him in the face. No, I wanted to smash his face. And you guys are like, whoa, that's aggressive. Yeah, it's the truth. And the condition of my heart against him was so bitter and so filled with anger and so hard-hearted. And here's the crazy thing. I knew without question that was not the heart I was supposed to have. I did not need the Holy Spirit to come down and reveal to me in a dream at some point, hey, Josh, you're not supposed to hate people. Scripture is incredibly clear. You're not supposed to harbor the bitterness. You're not supposed to be angry. You're not supposed to have ill will. You're supposed to turn the other cheek. There is more than enough verses that made it extremely clear to me you are not doing what God calls you to. You know what my response was? I don't care. I've been wronged, and I want justice. I want to get revenge for the situations and for the junk that's happened because it's messed up. And Jesus went, oh, yeah, I've never experienced anything like that. But inside of me, I was hard-hearted, and I knew it was not what God had for me. But I was very simply just saying, God, I don't want to do it your way. I have my desire. I'm going to follow my desire. I know how I feel. I know what I want. I'm pursuing what I want. I know what you want. I'm not doing it. And I think the reason why God makes such, or why Jesus makes such a huge deal of the heart in this situation is partly because of that, because the truth for me was I would like to act like that was some isolated thing that was just between me and him, but I would leave meetings with him, and then I would go into other meetings with other people with way less patience. I would be way more aggressive with them. I would have way less grace with people. Then I would get in the car, and I would drive like way more of a jerk than I normally would. And I would get home to Katie and be way meaner than I normally would. And Jesus is saying the condition of your heart influences everything else. Child, if you do not understand this, you're not going to get any of it. If you have that junk and that hardness in your heart, it will influence everything. The ripple effect will go into everything. Don't kid yourself. It's not isolated. And for some of you, you're sitting here right now going, why is he talking to me? I'm not. Mark is. You're soil number one. It's the hard path. Soil number two is this. It's the rocky soil or the shallow soil. And this is the soil that as soon as hardship comes, as soon as struggle comes, the plant just withers and dies. And this one is so incredibly difficult for me, and I hate talking about this one so much because I spent a lot of my life doing ministry with high school students and college students, and the really sad truth is this happens a lot at that age range. Students, people, everyone, you guys know these people. They come to church, and they're excited, and they're gung-ho, and they show up for all the events, and they want to be a part of things, and they join the community groups, and everything is good, and they're crazy excited to be a part of things, but then something happens. Students meet the professor that says, wait, that's your idea of what creation is? They get with other groups of people, and the groups of people go, wait, hang on. Explain what you just said about how sexual relationships are supposed to work. What's your belief about that? Wait, what is Jesus' stance on how sexuality and all those things are supposed to be? Wait, what? Or maybe you get the health diagnosis. Or maybe someone you've been praying for a long time keeps not getting better. Maybe you're in a relationship that's terrible and you keep praying about it and it's not getting better. Maybe you're single and you've been praying to be in a relationship for a really long time and you're still single. Maybe the big questions of why does God allow evil and all those different things start stirring in your head and you just get to this point where you go, you know what? I'm done. That's what I used to think, but I'm no longer that person. I'm no longer going to associate with that. I'm no longer going to be that way. I'm turning and I'm walking away from that. And Jesus goes, that's because the roots were not deep. It was shallow roots, so as soon as the sun came, as soon as the hardship came, as soon as persecution came, that one just died off. And it's heartbreaking. But it happens more than we like to act like. And then we come across the third soil. And this is the soil that's in the thorns. And this one is incredibly tricky for a few different reasons. One, it says, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things. It's literally the catch-all, the desire for anything other than Jesus. The desire for anything other than glorify God. But the tricky part about this seed that makes it so difficult to see and so difficult to understand is the other two seeds, one never grows, one grows quickly and then dies, and it's pretty obvious when it dies. This one grows, it just grows amongst the thorns, and so it never produces anything. It's not that it's dead, it just never produces. So this is all of us. That being a Christ follower is just part of what we do. I'm a Christ follower, I have this job, I'm a parent in this way, I do this, I do this, I do that. It's just all a mix. Being a Christian is just part of the thorn bushes over there. They all get the same amount of time, they all get the same amount of effort, they all get the same amount of priority, they all get the same nutrients, so they all grow the same. To step on some of your toes, this is those of you that choose to do work things instead of choosing to do Christ things that God has called you to. This is for those of us that choose to put our parenting and our kids on this pedestal and make that the priority or make their grades the priority. Ready for me to really offend you guys? This is for those of us that care more about someone's political standing than you do about whether or not they're following Christ. This is whether or not you care whether someone's vaccinated or not vaccinated, what the mandate says or doesn't say, what the mask law says or doesn't say, and how we're supposed to deal with it. But we've made those things more of a priority than following Christ. I know some of you guys are getting offended and your seats are getting hot and you're getting frustrated. But here's what Christ is saying in this situation. It's not that those things in and of themselves are a bad thing or that those are wrong. What he's saying is when those things take priority or become the same priority as following Christ. If following Christ is not the main priority, if that's not the main goal, if that's not what you're striving for, it's just equal or lesser than all those other things, then you are going to be stuck amongst the weeds. And here's how you know. If you've been a Christ follower for 6 months, a year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever else, and your life looks the same, you're stuck in the weeds. And it's not just whether or not you've had other people come to Christ because of your influence on their life. We're talking about the fruits of the Spirit, too. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If those are not growing in your life, then what Mark would say is you're the third soil. What Jesus would say is you're the third soil. Following Christ has not been a priority. It's just one of the things. So that's the third option. And the fourth option is this. It's the good soil that produces the fruit. And when the seed lands in there, it produces a harvest of 30, 60, and even 100 times. And for me, as I was trying to think about illustrations or things that kind of bring this to light, for me, it's doing the Bible reading app with other people in my community group and getting to this place where I go, you know what? I need to write something that I don't really want to write. I need to be more vulnerable and put this out there and put it in writing with the talk it over section with the other guys in my group because I feel like God's prompting me to. It's having times in my life where I've messed up and I know that there's sin issues and I know that I've chosen to do things that aren't God's way and then literally feeling the Holy Spirit inside of me go, Josh, you need to call Dale and confess this to him, and he's a friend for my community group. And being like, you know, Jesus, that doesn't sound good. But yet knowing that's what I need to do and choosing to do it. It's having a conviction that we just don't get encouraged enough. We don't have enough people speaking positive into our lives. And so being prompted to go, you know what? I need to write a gratitude journal to God, to my wife, and to my kids. I need to speak encouragement into some people around me. And even when I feel those promptings and I think to myself, what if this makes this conversation really weird? To just go, all right, I'm going to do it anyways. To be fully transparent, it's coming up here on a Sunday morning in front of all of you and knowing that it's going online and that it's never going to be erased and having to confess that I spent time as a pastor talking about forgiveness with a hard heart with someone I worked with. But feeling like the Holy Spirit was convicting me to say, Josh, we do not need another person to go up and tell a church, you have to be vulnerable and you have to be transparent to really be able to grow, and then not doing it yourself. If you're going to lead, you have to set the tone, so go up there and talk about those things, because the last thing the church needs is more hypocrites. And if you think for a second that trying to do those things and following those things does not produce a harvest, you're so incredibly wrong. If you don't think God's doing it in something in my life to say, let's bring this humility so people can actually see who God is and see that he's the good part of the story, not you. If you don't think that brings fruit, you've completely missed it. And so the question that we're left with, that Jesus sticks us with, is which soil are you? What is the condition of your heart? Is there certain situations where Jesus is pointing them out to you going, here's the condition of your heart, you got to change it? And so as I was thinking about this, I think a good way for us to gauge that is this. If you think back about last week, last 2 weeks, last day, whatever it is, how often in your life do you feel the Holy Spirit prompting you or guiding you or convicting you? Or do you have a verse that pops into your head that then you think about and go, oh, this is how I'm supposed to act in this situation. This is what God has called me to in this situation. And the second question is, how often do you obey that prompting? And the truth, to be very, very blatant with you guys, if I ask you that question, you go, I literally never think about it other than on a Sunday morning. You probably know that you're the hard path soil. And if you hear all the time and you obey all the time, you probably know you're the good soil. But the hope that I want to leave you guys with, the excitement that I want to leave you guys with, the beauty of this passage that I want to leave you with is this. You get to choose what soil you're going to be. If you want to have a soft, open, receptive heart to what God is calling you to, you get to choose that. He's not hiding the seed. He's not hiding his word from you. He makes it very clear in his word what he's calling you to, and you get to choose to live according to that. And if you choose to live according to that, I guarantee, I promise you, there will be a harvest. There will be the fruits of the Spirit growing in your life. And the amazing thing and the beauty of it is you will begin to experience the life that God actually has created for you. You will begin to live out the life that God designed specifically for you as you grow and get to become more like Him, and you get to glorify Him with your life. But the question that we're left with, that I'm leaving you with this morning, is which soil are you? What is the condition of your heart? And if you're not the good soil, if you're not open and receptive to what God has called you to, the good news is all you have to do is turn and be open to that, to listen to His word and obey it and take steps in that direction. And then you're going to begin to produce the harvest that's 30, 60, 100 times the seed that was planted in you. Let me pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the conviction of these words. Lord, I ask for all of us. As you said, Jesus said, we will not understand anything else unless we understand this. Lord, I ask that you would have us understand the condition of our heart. Make us extremely aware of how much we choose to follow you, and we allow that to change our lives, Lord. Lord, I thank you so much that when we choose to obey and when we choose to follow, you are faithful to provide that harvest. Lord, you're faithful to provide and to grow us into the person that you've created us to be. And Lord, I ask for everyone that they would understand and come to really live out that type of peace and that type of fulfillment and that type of joy that only you can give, Lord. We love you and we thank you so much, Father. Amen.